Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift, and we are live from SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame with Bo. Abe is in for Mike today, and Mike did say he's going to be listening and kind of checking in, so make sure we put on a good show, guys. Okay, I'm Allie Mack.
I'm not worried about his thoughts.
This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We're going to preview the four teams that will be presenting today, but there are so many events going on for the All-Star game this week. Yesterday was the 4.4 miler. Bo, I think it was maybe 20 minutes after I crossed the finish line. First person to text me, "How was it?" was the guy sitting to my left over here.
I bet. And he's already said it, but I didn't need to hear it come out of his mouth to know that he had big FOMO. Because Abe probably, and I don't think he would have done this to you, he wouldn't have said this, but he was probably wanting to know your time and be like, yeah, I could have beat that.
Well, he probably already looked it up.
I did not look it up. I was doing the show yesterday at Murph's, and it's the only reason I didn't do the run myself was because I had to be at Murph's starting at 10, mm-hmm. which really means I need to be there before 10.
Right.
And someone during my show walked in and still had their number on,
oh,
on their
really?
Shirt. I was like, oh.
It's called a bib.
Yeah, that bib.
She's just rubbing it right in my face.
Yeah, yeah. That race, the course, it was a lot hillier than I expected. It's not a lot that I get down around Turner Field and start running.
Have you done the Thanksgiving half?
No, okay, not the one. Because I'm always traveling.
They started down there as well, and there's just – it's like where you're heading out, and you're like 3/10 of a mile, and there's an immediate uphill, no matter which direction you go. You're like, what is this?
Well,
there's no flat down there.
I used to run that Thanksgiving 5K at the Meredith Square.
Yeah.
And I've ran some cold races there. It's because you never know what the weather's going to be. But that it's so good to run a 5K on Thanksgiving morning because then you just – I know that it's not the case, but it feels like you just got a free pass to eat whatever you want.
That's the case for the half marathon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, when I was running yesterday, I did run into Dylan's girlfriend, Simone. I saw her up ahead of me, so I ran up, you know, took a quick selfie with her, and then I kept running, and I passed her. Then from that moment on, I was like, I have to stay ahead of Simone because I made it a big deal.
Yeah. Now you've set a pace. Yeah.
Hey, on my way by you, I want to capture this moment. Look, here's me passing you in the 4.
Hey, you remember
4.
Mile 1 when you were strong and running past me? Well, it's mile 3. You're fading horrifically, and I'll see you at the finish line.
I give her credit, though. She got to that finish line, and we met up and talked for a minute. She was on her way to another brunch, part of All-Star Week. She is just on the go right now, so kudos to Simone. SEC Media Day, speaking of all the events we have going on, they start today. We've already covered a little bit about what we're going to hear from Greg Sankey at 9 a.m. this morning. And we're actually sitting with our backs to the stage right now. But if we turn and look, we have a great view of everything that's going to be going on today. And, of course, four teams will present each day today. It's LSU, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt. What are you guys expecting to see?
Well, I think we got to go team by team. And the first one for LSU, it's a pretty interesting season, I think, for Brian Kelly. Obviously, they had Joe Burrow a number of years back, and he wasn't there. But that was the last time where I looked at LSU and said, hey, this is a team that might have the best quarterback in the conference. And I think it's a pressure year for them because they finished relatively – I mean, they were 9-4, but they weren't really in the discussion to get into the playoffs. This is a team, Bo, this is a program that should be in the discussion to make the playoffs, and they weren't last year. I think it's a big year for Brian Kelly, who is kind of underwhelmed a little bit since taking over with his new family.
Yeah, I think you got a good point. The biggest game for them might be the first game, because I don't think he's won an opening game at LSU.
No, I think it's like 0-5.
He was brought in there for a couple reasons. One, the program was in disarray because of Gotaga. And what that had become, and they finally were able to release him into the wild, which for Orgeron is Destin, Florida, so he can run around without a shirt on and have fun. And I mean, I love the dude to death. He's hilarious. He's a caricature of what you think a coach should be. But Brian Kelly's got players down there, and I thought he might have got last year. I was talking to some people, and there were supposedly rumors that some of that locker room had kind of turned. and wasn't really a fan of him. And obviously some of the players aren't a fan of how he talks to them on the sidelines. But he does have a guy that can sling it around in Nussmeier. So it is. I think you're spot on with your thoughts about it being a big year for him, because you only get so many years as SEC head coaches. I mean, there are some people out there, it's not you and me, but some people that we know and work with and love that will fire a guy when they lose two games and they're 5-2 and they're a school like South Carolina and want to fire them. But it's definitely a big year for Brian Kelly, and I'm not even trying to go full fricky.
No, and I wouldn't say he's on the hot seat entering the year, but I think there are some situations where if it turns south, you could start to hear murmurs.
Yeah, well, of course.
I don't think he's there to start the year. There are coaches in the SEC who are there to start the year.
Look,
not one of them.
The biggest thing that I get irritated with when people say, "Well, who you gonna hire then?" I mean, you know, I think that there's a good argument. So when people get mad, you never know. Well, that's true, but the one thing Brian Kelly is going to do is stabilize a program, recruit well, and get you 8 to 10 wins a year. I mean, that's the one thing you can guarantee. But remember, he came to LSU, I should say, because he didn't think he could play or win national titles at Notre Dame, and then look what happened.
A head coach no one had ever heard of takes them right to the national championship game.
And so. Also, I think he's only 0-3. I think he's only been at LSU three years.
I think I said 5, but yeah. It's going to be fascinating. South Carolina going today as well. My thoughts on South Carolina and my thoughts on Vanderbilt are a little bit similar. I think that it is incredibly difficult to run back a shock or surprise season. And I'm a little hesitant to put Lenore Sellers into that discussion. I just don't know how much I buy last year and what needs to be done for a second straight season. And I'm just looking at them. I think they're due for like a little slide after where they were last year. They almost made the playoffs. They were right in that discussion. I don't know if he's got a repeat effort. If he does, he's probably one of the top 10 quarterbacks.
I think he's one of the top ten picks
in the NFL draft potentially.
Look, he's the kid's athletic. He's I think he's got a pretty good head on his shoulders the way he plays. I like watching him. He's fun to watch. It's easy to say that South Carolina's gonna backslide.
Yeah, of course.
You put it,
yeah.
Because they're South Carolina and that's kind of what that program is. You know, you're 6-6 one year, then you pull out at 8-3 or 9-4, whatever many games there are now. It seems like we're just growing day by day. But I wouldn't sleep on them because I think Shane Beamer does a good job of recruiting guys. Shane Beamer's I feel like he's done a decent job in the portal. I'm not saying they can't. I don't know what this league is so deep. You know, South Carolina, I feel like, has a more favorable schedule than a Georgia or a Florida. It's not that much more favorable because it's still the SEC, but Florida has the exact same schedule they did last year. They just don't play the gauntlet in November the same way. So it's not easy what they have to go through. So I think I would probably say South Carolina has a better chance to repeat than some.
Yeah, I do think that is the case. I'm also fascinated by what they can do defensively. I know he's not here presenting as part of the South Carolina contingent, but Dylan Stewart is in the discussion, the very short list, for one of the best defensive linemen in the game. And so I think they can lead with him and then go from there.
And it's still college football. If you still have transcendent players on one or both sides of the ball, it can help you tremendously. I mean, especially when you get into the gauntlet that the college football season is as a whole and these conferences these days, especially the top two conferences, which is the SEC and the Big 12. I mean, excuse me, the Big 10.
Lane Kiffin coming back here for Ole Miss, Bo. They've got Austin Simmons. I think a lot of their season at quarterback is going to revolve around what he can do. I think they're replacing like 17 starters.
Well, that's,
it's a crazy number.
But isn't that what Kiffin does now? He's a transfer portal junkie. I mean, that's kind of where he lives. He would rather recruit out of the portal, I feel like.
Their entire secondary, based on what is expected right now, is out of the portal. Both guards, offensive guards, both receivers. I mean, everyone's out of the portal. Sometimes it comes together. It's just – it's not easy to pull it all together, though, quickly.
No, it's not. Yeah. Austin Simmons is the kid we saw in the Georgia game last year.
He popped in for a quick bit, lit it up, and then back on the bench.
I mean, he went right down the field.
Yeah.
So right there I feel good. I feel good with Lane Kiffin and what he can do with those with quarterbacks. I think the best thing in the world for Ole Miss is they hired a Lane Kiffin that's more comfortable in his skin than ever. And I think for people, what do you mean? He's always seemed to be that guy. But I feel like he knows exactly what the game is, and he is now, and he just does his thing. And, you know, we'll get some sound bites from him and Feinbaum today. I'm sure we'll be playing it tomorrow because if he goes on there, he'll take some shots, which is always fun.
But yeah.
Kiffin's kind of got what he wants rolling down there. So, again, I think they have an automatic loss because I think Georgia's out for blood against them this year.
Yeah, I can believe that.
And Athens?
Yeah. And the last team presenting today here, Bo, is Vanderbilt. And they did bring quarterback Diego Pavia. It's just one of those things where, man, you're going to talk the trash that he talks. You would better back it up. And that's the thing that I'm fascinated by.
I think he
does.
He's
got – he is not scared of any of the teams in the SEC. And I think that's something Vanderbilt hasn't had – in a long time,
well, I think
certainly from
coach
the player,
is the same way. I think Clark
right?
Lee's
but from the,
same
the player
way.
Perspective, I think the player's got to lead it at some point. And this guy's not backing down to South Carolina. He's not backing down to Alabama. He's out there talking that trash. I've also seen that go horribly wrong, though. If you don't back it up, you look like an absolute fool.
Well,
Alec. Yeah, that's true. But Pavia has when he's healthy, he's backed up everything he's taught. They've taken on the attitude of Clark Lee, which is not a back down attitude. And Pavia has the same way. Plus, Pavia's got that bravado that he walks out on the field with that you're talking about. And I think it's not, you know, what the craziest thing about it is teams aren't used to seeing that when they see Vanderbilt show up.
Well, and everyone is starting to fill in around here and get going for SEC Media Days. We're going to keep you posted on everything that's happening coming up. We're going to go in the huddle. Unfortunately, a second-round draft pick for Cleveland got into some trouble over the weekend. We'll talk about it next with the Morning Shift. We are live from SEC Media Days from the College Football Hall of Fame on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Yes, we are live. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift live from SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame with Bo. Abe is in for Mike today. Myself, Allie Mack. I did not wait for the post on that one, Bo, if you did not know. I wanted to, but I knew how long that one was, so I did not wait on it. So I have to ask, yes, we're going to go in the huddle in a moment. Abe, you were just eating some turkey jerky?
No, that was just straight-up salami sticks.
Oh.
Straight-up salami.
At 7:24 in the morning. Are you still keto?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'll eat whatever at any time of day. So this is the misconception here.
Do you like salami sticks?
Gets the job done. I was hungry. No, I'm not that hungry.
I'm just curious.
Abe, I have to tell you, Bo and I went into the All-Star Village after our broadcast over at Murph's the other day, and my husband, Grant McCauley, was with us. And we happened upon this auction where they're giving away, or not giving away, obviously you bid on certain items. And there, what was it, Bo, that something Grant's eyes lit up on, and I think it was about to be like $500, and he was getting serious about it. I just looked at you, and I was like, oh, my.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think of what the item was, but it was – I was like, uh-oh, here we go. And I could hear Allie underneath her breath, and she's probably going to be mad at me for saying this, like, don't spend your mortgage money. Don't spend your mortgage
money. Don't spend your mortgage money. We and just bought this house.
It was hilarious. Allie and Grant talked me into it, Abe, because I was like, I'm going right home. They're like – Grant was like, you're not going to walk around the village? And I was like, nah, I think I'll go home and make sure Amy's good. And he goes, well, there's not a lot of people here right now. So, you know, you could probably get through it pretty quickly. And I was like, all right, I'm in. And then I got into the drama of watching Grant, like, want to buy stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then when we went through the auction, which was really cool, I wanted to buy stuff at that point. And so at one point I texted Amy and was like, hey, I'm going to leave here in a few minutes, but I think Grant might buy something really expensive. And she was like, great, okay.
As long as it's him and not you, honey.
Yeah, but it was cool watching Grant because, he's such a baseball guy, and there's so much baseball history in there. Him and I got caught in the Braves corner of the auction. Mm-hmm. We lost Allie. Like, Grant turned around to find you, and you were gone.
Yeah.
We ended up finding out where we saw you, but we were just looking up every item that they had on the Braves and trying to figure out what the price was, because I think we both were wanting to buy stuff. But, you know, normally things price themselves out of, you know, little peon like us is a price range.
But you guys were still going – they were going through every single item, like, in the display cases and seeing how much everything was. So, Abe, it's not my first rodeo. I know how this goes with Grant. So I just kind of walk around and look at things I'm a little bit more interested in. The one item he was – so we waited to see how much that Smoltz jersey was that was autographed, and it was framed and beautiful. He was going to do about $200 for it, but it went for $400. So he did not end up bidding on that. The other item – we might go back and look at it. Mickey Mantle's American Express card is up for auction.
Does it work?
I don't know. Probably
not. He's got credit, right?
Probably not. But it was really cool to walk around the All-Star Village, of course. All-Star Week is happening. The Home Run Derby is tonight. The All-Star Game is tomorrow. There's so much going on in Atlanta. We're actually down at the College Football Hall of Fame right now for SEC Media Days. And is Beyonce still in town?
I think last night was the last show, right?
Okay.
It was 4 days.
No, tonight's her last night.
Yeah. All right, tonight's her last night. Monday night.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, the other part about the Grant thing I forgot to mention is it was funny when people were doing – when did the live auction, he kept looking at – he was really just looking at Allie, but I was on the other side of Allie, and he was like, I got mine for this price. And he was, like, bragging that he was cheaper. He's like, yeah. Like, the Ronald Acuna Jr. ball, I think, went for $300. He's like, got mine for $120.
Yeah, well –
and, like, then he, like, turned, like, did a head. Like, if he had hair, he would have been, like, a hair turn.
That's the benefit of him being like a Braves insider and a collector. He knows how much things are worth, and he's not going to overpay for anything, and he's going to find a deal. I am a little worried that auction is still open and he could go bid on things because he's in and out all week.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he's going to be doing when I am not there.
I mean, some people, if you see Grant, feel free to ask him how much things are too, because he apparently has those answers as well.
All right, it's time to go in the huddle. So, rookie running back Quinshon Judkins gotten in a little bit of trouble. He was arrested in Fort Lauderdale on a charge of domestic violence and battery. He was just drafted in the second round by Cleveland. Not a good weekend for them.
Yeah, this is an I always like to reserve judgment in these moments. But this is not a good way to start the career. I think it was in Fort Lauderdale on Saturday, and at one point I know he was still in there. But it was described as a touch or strike battery domestic violence. I mean, the league takes domestic violence extremely serious today compared to what they did at one point in time. Not sure how this one's going to go, but they did have a hearing that he has no contact with the woman that is accusing him, and he's obviously not allowed to access firearms at this point. So I know that there was a call at like 9 a.m. That they responded to. It's just it's not good, Abe.
No, and the other aspect of this from the professional standpoint, just from the NFL aspect of this, he has not yet signed his rookie contract. Don't forget, they drafted another rookie running back in Dylan Sampson, who I think is pretty darn good here out of the SEC. Anyways, and so it's a situation you just don't want to start off on the wrong foot. And this is a franchise in Cleveland that already has so many things going wrong with it to begin with. And you haven't had any opportunity to make a positive impact, and this is what they see. And we talk about it, right? Training camp's 10 days away or whatever it is. You don't want to see headlines. You don't want to see your teams, your players involved in anything. Unless they're attending a charity event, and that certainly wasn't the case here. It's bad news.
I remember being at a mini camp, the last day of mini camp. This was years ago because Mike Smith was still the head coach. It might have been like 2012 or 13. And somebody asked the question, hey, what do you tell your guys as they leave for what is their break until training camp? And he was like, I don't know, stay in shape and stay out of trouble. I mean, it's just say, he didn't say those exact words, but something along those lines. And that's the messaging that coaches give. Dude, just don't get arrested. Don't get hurt. Don't get arrested while on this time off. Just be smart and stay out of trouble.
We talked about the collusion situation a lot last week with the NFL and the NFL Players Association and the hot seat that Lloyd Howell has found himself in. However, the NFLPA leaders are backing Lloyd at this point.
Yeah, there's still a lot of kind of secrecy about exactly what's been going on, who's been told what, and what the directives have been. I think, and Bo mentioned this earlier, I think it's a good point. I just don't know how much you're messing with it based on the current timeline as you approach the NFL season. I think this is something that you get to the full bottom of and then figure it out. I don't think you need to rush to judgment, and so I don't think they are. But it's still an ugly look anyway you cut it up, and it's just something players don't want to have to be dealing with. This, like, they're focused on, like you said, getting things in order for the season, right? Getting their housing situations ready, their workouts, they're hiring their nutritionists and chefs and doing all the things they don't need to be discussing with internal memos, you know, whether or not this guy's got their backs.
There's a clear conflict of interest for me,
right?
And you know, the fact that they paused this collusion ruling or whatever, and then when he got heat, he all of a sudden decided to unpause it. I feel bad for the NFL players, because I've always, since Gene Upshaw, I think, was the guy that ran them for, was the PA guy for years, and then when he was kind of forced out, I've always felt like he was forced out. Then they got DeMarie Smith, who I thought was a debacle, and this might be even worse than DeMarie Smith. They need someone that has their best interests in mind, but isn't just willing to tell them whatever they need. The union has never been the likes of what the NBA's or the MLB's is. So hopefully I would say just get this guy the hell out of there as quick as possible.
And real quick, five-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh announced he's retiring after playing 13 seasons with the NFL.
One of the meanest players on the field when he was on. But, I mean, I've had interactions with him when he seemed like a nice guy. He was a switch flipper, like one of those guys. When he was on the football field, it was a completely different human being than what he was off from what I have seen and even heard. But man, he was a beast for a while.
I think the question to ask for you, Bo, you can literally just respond yes or no. No doubt, Hall of Famer.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. I think is it one to me.
Five Pro Bowls, three first team All Pros.
Was he one
2010's
of the best
decade?
At any point in time, was he one of the best defensive tackles in the league? Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd say so.
Well, and coming up, we're going to talk about the Braves-Cardinals series and those intermissions we had to deal with. Plus, we've got a mic'd up. Since Abe's here, though, it's actually going to be an Abe'd up. That is next with the Morning Shift, and we are live from SEC Media Days from the College Football Hall of Fame on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift live from SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame. You've got Bo here. He's to my right. Abe's to my left. He is in for Mike Johnson today. And I am Allie Mack. This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We are going to talk about the Braves-Cardinals series. Unfortunately, we did not win yesterday. But Bo, you were in the car this morning with us when I was asking Abe about these dating apps.
Yeah.
He just clued me in on someone that he swiped. Which is it? Which is
left.
No? Left is
Negator.
No. Okay. It's been a minute for me. So left. He swiped left on someone immediately. The reason is phenomenal. Abe, fill us in.
Yeah, like, you know how they have prompts and questions for to try and juice up your profile?
Real quick, just for the record, like, I'm probably like some people in the audience, I never use a dating app.
Good for you,
I'm not,
though.
No. They just weren't around when.
Cool flex, man.
When I'm not trying to flex. I'm just saying, explain this to me like I'm a 2-year-old, because.
I'm not, because you know how dating app works.
I know that you swipe right or left, but that's, I don't know about prompts.
Yeah, there's a profile, you either get into it or don't, and then swipe right or left.
But the ones that do have the prompts are the most probable. Like, you're going to find someone that way.
Sure. If you say so. But one of the prompts, one of the questions was something that you're proud of. And she had put on her official dating app where she's trying to find dudes. I don't own a TV. And so I just swiped left immediately.
That's her flex.
This is not the first time where I've come across. It has nothing to do in general, but like sometimes I just confused by what your flex is.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you want a dude with a library card. I get that. But like, what are we doing?
What are we doing? Hold on. What I need to know is is your flex? I have four TVs.
Dude,
was that your flex?
I didn't answer that question. I have different questions. I'd have to go back and look. I don't even know. I think one of my questions is like favorite musical artists. And then I don't remember
what's your flex, Abe?
I don't think I have a flex.
I wouldn't be
single if I had a flex.
But you just said that it prompts one of your flexes. What is your flex?
Do you have any photos of you like doing radio? Do you have you behind
there
him?
Might
yes.
be.
He yeah. smiled immediately. Yes, he
well,
does.
I don't know if I have one doing radio. I have that as a photo I use for like different.
Yeah.
I mean,
like
that is something you have to get out of the way immediately, though. If you are dating someone new,
agreed.
You have to get the radio thing out of the way because it is a thing. Schedules are crazy.
Profile.
It's a different kind of life.
I agree. You're 100% right, but it was just funny because you're like, do you have the picture of you doing radio? And he could not hold back the grin. Like,
I have that picture,
he was
but
like,
I don't think
I mean,
it's
no,
on.
It's not like on my profile, but I mean, it is, but yeah.
I don't know how to actually find my own profile.
Like, radio guys, their equivalent of like them holding the fish in their dating profile is them behind a microphone.
Yep. I mean, and you know what's funny is I don't think I've posted but like once or maybe twice the entire time I've been in radio that is a profile picture. Mainly because I was like, I'm not on radio. I was a producer for so long. Now I probably should use that as as something. But I don't know. I whatever.
Well,
I just want a good picture of me because that's all I care about.
What I love, though, about that is, like, Abe knows exactly who he is. There's, like, someone that's not going to watch TV. Of course, that's not going to work out. That's also a weird flex for anyone. I do find it's weird when people are like, I don't really watch that much TV. Okay, cool. Good for you. The rest of us do.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I get shamed on the show for watching too many movies by Mike. Like, I think he's like, oh, well, I'm sorry. I didn't watch that movie when I was a kid. I'm like, how?
I don't think it's a shaming thing.
Yeah.
You just file them away a little bit differently than other people do. Like, I'll watch things, but I don't have the quote stuck in my head. That's just the way your brain works, which is kind of a – see, Dylan's agreeing with me.
Yeah, I was about to say, but I don't think we necessarily shame you or Mike necessarily shames you. It's just that your movie knowledge is so much bigger than ours. It's just like, we can't stand on the same pedestal as you, bro.
Dylan, he's not listening. You don't have to take up for him.
I'm not. I'm just being fair and just as I always am. Spitting the facts.
Well, I think I'm hearing kind of a wake-up call topic here. What are some red flags on dating apps? Because this could also help out Abe, since he is back on the dating apps. And I'm not just putting his business out there. You were talking about this the other day, that you're back out there on the prowl.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going well so far. I think I've got zero matches since I started swiping, but...
How many times
we'll
have you?
There.
I don't buy that.
I guarantee you I have zero matches.
Have you swiped left more times than you swiped right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like 3-1 or?
I think it just depends. It comes and goes in waves. I might swipe right like 5 in a row, and I might swipe left like 8 in a row. It just depends.
Yeah, and I'm just curious because you're an interesting person. You have a lot of little unique things about you. So I think that you're, from what I've been around you, you're a guy that's like, if you see something, you're like, not even giving it a chance. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
I know we have to go to Braves real quick, but Abe, I just have a quick follow-up question. Nah, we really actually don't.
No one wants to talk Braves.
Abe, what is your – do you have an ideal first date?
Yeah.
An ideal first date?
Yes.
I mean, a lot of that's going to be dependent on, like, what level of communication you had either via app or text or phone call leading up to it. Like, how introductory is it? How much do we really have to get out the way? Probably simple. Like, I'm open to the dinner and a drink thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people first date are just drinks.
Yeah.
And so that's its own thing. But, drinks and conversation that 2 hours feels like 20 minutes would be nice, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. You don't want anything too committed. Like, I remember way back in the day, I was going out on a first date, and then the person kept adding things like, okay, we can grab drinks, and then we can go get dinner, and then we can go get a movie. I'm like, you're planning a whole day.
So there's
That's a lot.
Because I'm single, you guys are not. There's like a psycho lane of influencers on like IG Reels. I don't have TikTok, but I'm sure on TikTok as well. that are like, here's how to plan a perfect first date. And they're like, without questions, you need three specific stops. I'm like, I'm not going to three places.
No.
Are you out of your mind?
Again, I don't know if things have changed, but to me, I think it's just, like, I don't even think dinner anymore. I think just go have drinks. Like,
yeah,
when
I've gotten older, it's turned into that.
It's like, no, you don't have to sit at the bar, but sit at like a high top. You know, maybe don't go to your favorite place or that person's favorite place, but just go to a bar that is both foreign to y'all. Drink, have drinks, hang out, and then if you have some appetizers, and if you want to do something from there, that's on y'all. Or maybe not. Just go home.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a process. Whatever. Yeah, that three things, doing this big hold. Because let me tell you something. As I'm 42 and I'm not single, but I can tell you I would never want to waste money on a big first date and it just go nowhere.
No, absolutely not. And I feel like this is very similar to, you hear these rumblings of like, okay, this is what you need to do. Three different stops. That sounds a lot like back in the day. Remember the pickup artist on VH1?
Yeah, I do.
He's like, and he would say, go insult the girl before you ask her out and that'll make her want you more. Like, no, this is terrible advice.
I don't know. I would use the to use a movie, the 40-year-old virgin, where they did it when I can't remember, was it Amy? It's Amy Adams, but it was one of the, she ended up being a more famous actress. But like, he basically does the question game with her. She's like, can I help you? He goes, I don't know.
Oh, that was Amy Smart.
Yeah, Amy Smart. Yeah. Can you help me? And then like, she's like, are you looking for something?
Yeah.
He goes, am I looking for something? And like, he just does that until she basically is just falling head over heel. I think if I was back out there, I might use that.
Well, we got to get to Mic'd Up, which is Abed Up today, in a moment. But I do want to mention, because I promised it, Braves-Cardinals series. Unfortunately, we did not get the sweep. We lost yesterday 5-4. There were two different rain delays that I feel really kind of messed up the momentum for this team, because we were winning before that second delay. And then when we came back, Jesse Chavez gave up a couple runs. Did you hear the person mention at Murph's the other day, Bo, mentioned that they hope that Jesse retires with the Braves?
Yes. And if he makes it through the end of the season, I think that's exactly what will happen.
I hope so. But unfortunately, he did not fare so well for us yesterday.
No, if he wants to retire with the Braves, he might have to make that announcement today, because he might be DFA'd when they return to action.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that they –
being honest.
It's clearly he's not the same guy that he was 2 years ago when he was having an all-star caliber season.
He's got a 9 ERA.
What is there to say? You don't have a lot of options, and you need a guy that can go 3 to 4 innings and make it through. And you don't really have that right now.
Well, finally, though, we get some time off, because that was the last game before the all-star break. So hopefully this team can rest, get a little reset, maybe the second half. Mike Johnson the other day was saying that at least just play .500 baseball in the second half.
Sure, that would be great. I've talked about this. I mentioned this on the show yesterday. I don't think anything is building for a run this year. So everything in my mind is about how do you make what happened in 2025 not be the story in 2026. I'd like to see Ozzy get it going, or he's at risk of being bought out. I'd like to see Michael Harris get it going. Obviously, you're trying Acuna deeper in the lineup. You see if that's going to have any impact. You're not going to be able to fix the rotation this year. There's just nowhere to go there. You've got so many guys hurt. Not just hurt, but the guys are going to miss almost the entirety of the rest of the season. So we're going to keep it realistic about what you can afford when you're pitching two bullpen games per week. And you'll probably bring up some young guys and see what they can do as you move forward. But right now, you got to get some positive momentum building. And, again, I still wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of guys moved, a couple of guys from the back end of that bullpen who maybe could fit in a 6th or 7th inning for a playoff team, and even maybe a hitter that's struggling with an injury.
Well, and the guys get some much-deserved time off with All-Star Week happening right now. And we got to switch over to Abed Up.
Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. I don't think you live too far from one, Allie, because I did a show with Carl up that way somewhere. And they got some good wings, man. Nice and crispy. You could probably get them not crispy, but they were good. They were good. So I do recommend Buffalo's Cafe. We've talked a little bit about me and my running escapades. I just got this running watch Got it during prime days. It is a Garmin 255, the music edition. You guys notice anything just in general about this watch right now?
I'm proud of you for getting a running watch because you've been running with nothing.
Yeah.
But what specifically are you talking about?
I am wearing this watch on my right hand.
Yes.
This is something that has followed me since I was a kid. I write left-handed. I do most athletic things right-handed. I cannot wear a watch, and I certainly cannot put it on my left hand. I know the left hand's normal. You guys both wearing watches. Well,
left
he's
hand.
Got no watch.
I don't wear a watch.
You've got
I
one. I know I'm supposed to wear it on my left hand. I tried to put it on the left hand.
Yeah.
It just doesn't go. And so I think this is a left-handed thing, but I'm wearing it on the right hand.
Well, I just assumed you're left-handed when you're wearing it on your right hand, but this is also why you need to get a partner so that they can help you put your watch on the left hand.
I've run with it a couple times. I like the clickability for my left hand on my right wrist. I don't know. It's a weird thing.
Well, how are you liking the watch so far?
I am I got to figure out how to run slower. Like,
what's that got to do with the watch?
Come on.
Because it tells
weird
me your pace.
Flex.
No.
Yeah. You talk about me.
No, because the back end of the run is where the front end of the run needs to be.
Yeah,
like, I do this weird thing where, like, my first 2 miles are fast, and then the next couple are wherever they are, and then the last couple, if there's hills, are just disasters. And everyone said you're supposed to do, like, your slow runs, like, slower than you think.
Yep.
And, like, I don't do any of my slow runs at, like, 9:30, 9:40 paces. They all end up being faster. That's not good.
I'm assuming this keeps track of your heart rate too.
I turn that feature off.
Oh, okay.
What else does the watch do? Other than what features have you not turned off, I should say?
No, it's not that I turned it off. It still does track my heart rate. I just don't want to see my heart rate as I'm running.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing I had to get over. So right now it just tells me pace, distance, and the length of the run while I'm wearing it,
man.
And then when I get into me a bunch of other stuff.
So far, it sounds like you're just
tells me I didn't get enough sleep last night. I'm guessing that's going to be a trend all week.
That's absolutely a given. We've got the wake-up call coming up. I think we have stumbled across a topic here. 404-726-0929. You can jump on the show with us right now. First, I do want to know, where are you feeling or how are you feeling about Matt Olson in the Home Run Derby tonight? Do you think he could pull it off? He is a hometown kid. It could be written in the stars. Also, Abe's situation. What is the biggest red flag when you are looking to date someone? Maybe we can help him with some advice here. Or maybe give us your ideal first date, because clearly there is terrible advice out there on the internet telling Abe to take someone to three different places. That's not a good date. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. You can also tweet at us at 929 Morning Shift. That is next. With the Morning Shift, we are live from SEC Media Days from the College Football Hall of Fame on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.